Thank you, DA. That's not fair because you asked me not to say anything about you. Good evening, everyone. Yes.
Before you start your service, give someone a minute to our ambulance.
Absolutely. Dan Cody, David Cody, someone. Awesome. Praise God. I have to confess, this is a sermon that I tried to give to New York, and due to technical difficulties, I didn't feel I delivered it properly. I got a text message halfway through the sermon that they had lost me. And when we reconnected, they were like, oh, well, it was about here. And I was like, "That I've done with half of my sermon." So apologies if you did hear some of it. But I do feel that it is appropriate. I felt this on my heart for a while. I've heard a lot of talk lately about conviction. I had to look that word up. I've been convicted. Oh, that was supposed to be a joke. Conviction is a firmly held belief or opinion. How many times in our spiritual life are we convicted? You know, some say you're only convicted once. You were convicted when you were baptized. Personally, I would disagree with that because there's been many times throughout my spiritual life where I felt a new conviction, a heavier conviction, a better conviction. You know, I feel like a lot of young people, when they're first baptized, they have that conviction. But what they don't understand, and what will come with wisdom and time, is that there will be more convictions and stronger convictions and more glorious convictions. I shared that because that's really where most of this came from. Was looking in the scriptures and being convicted, having a new understanding of something. So I'm going to start in John tonight. Actually, most of what I have tonight is going to be in John. We're going to start in the 4th chapter. We're going to start at the 7th verse here. This is the story of the woman at the well. Starting at the 7th verse. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" Two things wrong there. One, she's a woman. She didn't have a family member with her to give permission to speak. And two, she was a Samaritan and he was a Jew. They just didn't exist together. They weren't supposed to. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest to drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, she's probably looking at him like he's crazy, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? She had no idea who she was talking to. And just like you and I, if somebody said something like that to you, what's your reaction going to be? I mean, I got to say, I'm probably still more human than anything else. I'd give him one of those looks. I'd give him one of those scoffs or one of those noises, you know? What? Right? Here's a woman who, one, isn't supposed to be speaking to any man, not of her own family or without permission, and of a race that is not considered equal to the Jews. And yet, here's a man that says he's going to give her living water. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Wow. That's incredible. Those words that he says, he's trying to explain to her that if you drink of this water, you're only going to be thirsty again, but I have something better for you. I have something great and wondrous. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop at 15. So when I read this, I was in a state of looking for something. So my mind, my heart was open, and immediately I'm thinking to myself, what did he just bring to this woman? A woman, in my thinking, I'm thinking, well, first of all, the Jews don't think that anyone else is deserving of the coming of the Messiah, right? Everyone else is looking at the Jews in a way. But yet, when he speaks to this woman and he tells her of something great and wondrous, immediately I see in my mind's eye a picture of someone who is excited and wonders about something so great, a promise that can be given to her, right? Something so wonderful. And she's in awe, but she wants it. What is it like to want something? Someone comes to you and says, hey, XYZ, it's the greatest thing. And in your mind, you're like, wow, I want that, right? There's something new and something good, and you want it. And what is it that you're doing? Immediately, you're hoping for that thing. And I see that in her in this situation where she's here and Christ is talking to her. And she all of a sudden has hope, right? That's us. When we first hear the word of God, when we first taste that water, that nourishment, that witness, isn't it a small piece in our heart that sparks and we all of a sudden we have hope? That seed of faith is planted and we have hope? Because now we have a little bit of knowledge about something that is greater than us, greater than anything in the world. The water, to me, represented hope of eternal life. Believing in Christ equals faith and hope. And I think that's what he was delivering to this woman at the well. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, the end of verse 3 says, man shall not live by bread alone. And I paraphrase, it's not exactly. You know, what is it that each of us do each and every day? We look to the mortal things of life, right? Keep that in mind. Man doth not live by bread alone. John chapter 6. 26th verse. So, leading up to this, Christ and his disciples just fed thousands with five loaves and some fish and gathered up so much and all was well, and he traveled across the sea. Well, they traveled across the sea, and whoa, lo and behold, everyone wakes up and he's across the ocean. And they don't know how he got there, right? So starting in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. You know, here he's just completed healings. He just took five loaves and took up 12 baskets of bread, right? He took five loaves and broke it up and fed thousands, and two fish and broke it up and fed thousands. They cared nothing about that miracle in itself, that there was so little, but yet they were all filled. They were simply following him because he fed them and their belly was full. It wasn't their heart. It wasn't their soul that was filled at that time. They were being human. They were being men. And all they thought of was their own sustenance, their own need. And at the time, all it was to eat food. Wow, he's handing out food. He's giving away freebies. 31st verse. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. God did. He fed the Israelites as they wandered in the desert, circled around. They drifted around. He gave them manna. There were instructions to that manna. Take only what you need, no more. He saw they had a need, and he provided for them. He fed them each and every day. 32nd verse. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. You know, you can say that the manna was evidence of the coming of Christ, but all those Israelites in the desert could think of was their empty belly. They ate the bread and considered nothing else. They were hungry, and it meant nothing more than a full fill that empty void. And Christ here says, you know, my heavenly Father, your heavenly Father, drop that bread from heaven. And again, he will do the same. He will bring you the bread of life, that bread that will bring you eternal life. 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Just like the woman at the well, Lord, give me the water of life. Give me this water that is going to provide me that I will never thirst again. Just like men, give it to me. You have something that is so great that I've never seen it before. Give me. Let me have it. I need it. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of that of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should loose not nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. God gave Israel bread, food, when they were starving. They were in need. To me, this represents the coming of Christ who will feed or fill our need for salvation. Exactly. You know, that's what he's telling these people. These people that have been following him, that have seen him fill their bellies with so little, heal the sick, preach the gospel. He's teaching them from the Old Testament. He's teaching them all of these things. But yet all they are still concerned about is the material things that will fill their stomachs, that will fill their need now. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. God chose to keep the Israelites in the desert 40 years. Why? They were not all acceptable to receive the promised land. Correct? I would say that is one of the simplest things to understand about the Bible. He led them out of Israel, and then he led them in the desert. He led them in the wilderness until all of those dissenters were gone. All right? God gave us Christ so we can be acceptable for the promised land, for salvation. Christ is our nourishment, our hydration. Christ is salvation. First Corinthians, chapter 11. Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. I stood at sacrament and read these three verses here, and I was overwhelmed with emotion. You know, I thought of that when I was sitting there. Here I had just served you sacrament. And that sacrament was given to us by our Lord, right? I mean, those words right there. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Right? Those emblems of that sacrifice. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come." That word "shew," this is what I was testifying of, means to proclaim. And I said a few things, but not everything that was on my heart that night. You know, I said, I'm a better man. He took me from the path of destruction and he put me on a better path. You know, I'm in so much better of a place because I learned about my Savior, because I accepted my Savior. But I think the reason I became emotional that day was because I was realizing how much I had taken all of that for granted. Because these words right here, he says, Christ says, it's in red, it had to have been Christ's words, right? He says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." I didn't have a conviction when I came to take sacrament. I was coming to take sacrament because I was told that's what we did. And I'm sorry, it's not something that I feel proud of, but it is something that I was overwhelmed and convicted with. Again, my opinion changed of that as I knelt to pray and the Spirit came over me and told me, "This is my flesh. It was torn for you." How many of you have cut your hand? How many of you, not cut your hand, I mean, you can cut yourself with a knife. Yeah, it hurts, right? But how many of us have been working around the house and there's a nail sticking out and you walk by and it catches you, or it catches your hand while you're working and it tears your skin? How much more painful is that? And it was such a strong impression on me that it's Jesus Christ. God sent him here, and God could have put him on that cross, and he never felt a thing because God didn't want him to suffer that pain. But no, the Spirit said, "My flesh was torn for you." That bread means so much more to me now. I pray forgiveness that I never got it before. The blood, there's no pain in blood, right? You know that. You bleed. The blood is blood. It's there. But it's a testament. It's the New Testament. He shed that blood because God had a plan that by the shedding of his blood, you and I would have the opportunity for salvation. And if we're drawn to him, he promises not to lose us. Right? He said that. What God gives me, the men God draws to me, I will not lose. DA just said today, God's grace. I mean, just until right now, I wasn't even thinking that. I didn't write it down. There's nothing to it. But that is the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate grace. You and I are drawn to Jesus Christ. If not, you wouldn't be here. And he says, I will never give up on you. I will never forget. So I also had the Spirit rest on me and convince me that I needed to talk about this long before the sacrament here, but to talk about the bread, thinking when this first came about, I believe I was thinking more about speaking to those who weren't taking the bread and the wine. It was one of those ideas. That's when I started reading about these things. But also that day in the service, I was made to know that there were others in the congregation that day that were here to take the bread and wine because their spouse is a minister, or their dad and mom told them to come, or there was a reason outside of the conviction of the emblems themselves. They were here to take the emblems because that's what they were supposed to do, because they're baptized and it's the first Sunday of the month, and that's it. So starting at verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I was not discerning the Lord's body. I'm sure every one of us here can say that we go through the motions when it comes to things. And you get caught up in life and you're doing things and you just go through the motions to get them done because it's one of the things that you have on your list of to-dos. But to do that, it's you're tearing his flesh again and again and again and again. And this is a Savior that said he'll never lose you. A Savior that's so full of grace that he'll continue to take that punishment over and over and over again for you because he's determined not to lose you. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Yeah, that's the attitude that we are in. That's the aura about us, is when we are not convicted, when we sit here and accept the emblems as the flesh and the blood of our Savior in remembrance of the torture, the pain that he went through for our souls as the gift from our Heavenly Father. We are weak and sickly. We are not that bright light on a hill, that city on a hill that shines bright for the world to see. We're but a dim shadow traveling about. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Take a look at yourself. Examine yourself. We've got a couple of weeks before sacrament comes around again. I would ask that in those 2 weeks, you look within yourself, you challenge yourself to find a scripture. Find something that is going to open up your heart and your eyes to what those emblems really mean. Or is it just a piece of crunchy blah bread? and some wine that everybody shoves a piece of gum in your mouth after you take your wine? Or is that the flesh and blood? Can you sit there? Can you take that flesh and that blood upon you and not think it's bad? But see how wonderful the opportunity is to do what Christ asks you to do. Galatians chapter 2. My eyes are bugging out. I got this scripture from Jeff last week. Chapter 2, verse 20. I want you to think about this. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. How appreciative are you of the gifts that you get? We just went through Christmas. Was it wonderful you got all those gifts? Did you appreciate those gifts? Or were you like your kids? Oh, that's great, and went and stuffed it in the closet. Think about that gift. He loved you so much. He's promised never to give up on you. Hang your sins on that cross and be convicted when you come here on sacrament to understand the torture, the pain that our Savior gave so we could live and live forever. Thank you.